Thank God for preaching. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Jude, verse number 1, the Bible said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be a servant of Jesus. He said, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Aren't you glad you're preserved? Some of you look like you pickled tonight. We're preserved. Mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Then he says in verse number 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Thank you for standing this evening. I want to deal with that verse 20 just a few minutes on the thought of building up yourselves. He said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, there's three things tonight that I want to share with you about this of building up. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 1. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 1, he said, wherefore, laying aside all malice, that's wickedness or naughtiness, and all guile, that's deceit, and hypocrisies and envies, that's jealousy, and all evil speakings, that's backbiting, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord's gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Here we find that we are built up a spiritual house. Now we all have some place this evening that we call home. But I wonder in this temporal body, how is our spiritual house doing this evening? Now I want to notice in Jude 20 on this building up, there are facts about building. There are builders here tonight that I'm sure you could teach me a lot about the building business. And so I've tried to keep it simple. And I want to build off the thought of the facts of building. First of all, there's an expense to building. Have you ever noticed in Luke 14 and verse 28, talking about building a spiritual house now, but in Luke 14 and verse number 28, there the Bible says, for which of you intending to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You know, there could not be much, I guess, more embarrassing than to start in something and run out of what you needed to get it finished because you didn't sit down and think about the expense of building. You know, I can tell you this and apply it spiritually tonight. The expense of building, it always costs you more than what you planned. Now, if you say you're going to build you a 1,800 square foot home, and I don't know what the spec sheet'd say tonight, but let's say you could build it for $100,000. Don't think it's strange If you don't come back and have to go back to the bank and get some more money because that 100 didn't finish it. I know a lot of people tonight, they said, well, I'm going to be a Christian, or I'm going to be a soul winner, I'm going to be a preacher, I'm going to be a song leader, I'm going to be a big part in the fixture of the house of God, but they didn't count the cost. And it's going to cost you tonight to build a spiritual house. Here Jesus is teaching, and He said, which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. I've seen a lot of people that the cost was a lot bigger than the intention. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, the cost was a lot bigger than the intention. They said, well, you know, we're going to get dedicated, we're going to serve God, but there is an expense in building. And Jesus said, you better sit down and you better figure out what this is going to cost you. You better be careful what you say that you're going to do, because it's going to cost you something to build a spiritual house. There's an expense of building. And then there's an exercise of building. It takes faith. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And listen to what He says now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith don't come because you've heard. We're hard-headed people. We forget that. Does anybody's wife ever tell them something, and you don't even know what she said when she got done saying it? My wife tells me, she's rolling her eyes right now. She said, if you just listen. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. And some of you tonight that's got bigger faith than what you used to have, it's because you've heard the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know something? I want to say to the preachers tonight, a lot of times the devil tells us, because the message didn't go over well and everybody ain't running and shouting, that he ain't doing nothing. But I found out, Brother Dennis, God's doing more in the quiet times than He is in the loud time. As the old timer said, son, you can't sow seed when the winds are blowing. It'll just scatter everywhere. But tonight, we not only have this facts of building, it's expense, but it's exercise. It's work to build a spiritual house. And then the extremities of building. Now, there are some hindrances that you will experience in building. And I noticed when we were doing our cabin, Brother Mike, I'd done okay with that I could reach. But I had to call help to do the ceiling, because I'm scared of heights. And there's some extremity in building that we need each other. You can look around on these pews tonight. We need each other. Don't think we're the Lone Ranger tonight, honey. Oh, we need each other. Yes, we need the Lord Jesus, but we need each other. Sometimes I get down in the dumps and I need you to smile at me, and I need you to call me and say, preacher, keep preaching, and preacher, good message. I'm just as human as you are. Some of you need to be encouraged tonight. The devil will tell you everybody's against you, and everybody is against you, and everybody's against you, and everybody's against you. But everybody ain't against you tonight. Boy, the extremities of building, you're going to find some problems in building you're going to need some help with. Young ladies, look around in this church tonight. You got some good role models of some older ladies that you could go to, and some of you may laugh, but let me tell you something. You don't have your husband figured out, young ladies. Amen. I mean, a doctor and a lawyer, they go years to obtain a license for a school. All you do is go to the courthouse and get a blood test, and you got your license for marriage, and you don't know nothing about that thing you're living with.
So it would do you good to talk to some of these older ladies and say, well, how did you do things? This ain't their first rodeo. I want to say something tonight. Your preacher may not be the sharpest pencil in the box, but he's done got gray-headed and bald-headed. And I do know a few things I can tell you if you'll apply it. Young'uns, you ought to look around at these role models and reach out and get them to help you to grow in a spiritual house that God would be pleased with. Thank God for our kids. I told our men in prayer room tonight, we've got to invest in our future. You hear me, church? We can't just sit around and watch our young'uns do nothing. We can't sit around and watch the people in our community die. Jesus told us to work while it was day. It's a night coming when no man can work. We ought to be involved in these young people. We ought to be encouraging them when they sing. Glory to God. We ought to be fanning the flame. We ought to be encouraging them to go and tell the old story. These churches teaching them everything, but the old time way tonight. My goodness, we better put in a great investment in our young people tonight. We ought to encourage these young families to bring their children. And then when we get them here, what are we going to do with them? We need to be giving them the gospel, telling them about the Lord Jesus, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so we'll notice the extremities of building and the exercise of building before you're going to have a spiritual house building up yourselves in the faith. You're going to have to get busy and do something for the glory of God. I've noticed in pastoring a church, people come in, they get to wanting to do something, and the only people that get mad is them that ain't doing nothing. Amen. I mean, you're sitting around on your backside and somebody else gets a vision wanting to do something. You say, all right, won't work. You old stick in the mud. I mean, boy, I would sure hate to live with you. You old stick in the mud. Oh, that ain't going to work, preacher. Preacher, that ain't going to work, preacher. We ain't never done that for a preacher. Well, you never did go to Outback and eat neither till you went the first time. Now you go back. So we need to realize that there is the facts about building. There's an expense and there's an exercise and there's some extremities. There's some hard things that come along in building, but thank God we got some people that can help us in the hard places. Amen. Any of y'all ever try to take a set of tin snips, cut them eyeball lights out in this tin? Any of y'all ever tried to fit this stuff? There's a man asked me this week. He said, where'd y'all start? At the front or at the back? And I thought, we just started at the top, all I know. He said, I can't see where you got off track laying them tiles. Nowhere. But you know, everybody came to, you better not turn me loose with a string and a nail gun, Brother Troy, and try to do that up there tonight. Buddy, you'll get up there and you'll be cross-sided next Sunday and you look at that mess I've got. But I can do pretty good in low places, Brother Randall. Where, I mean, if I worked up on top of the building, I'd need four hands, Brother Lee, because I'd be holding on with the two I got. I'm getting a deer stand 12 foot, and I'm wrapped all around the tree, and I'm saying, Lord, I hope nothing don't come by, so I got let loose of this deer stand. But thank God for people that ain't scared of heights. Thank God that people that can help me build. Thank God for people that encourage me to build. When I hit some hard places, thank God for some people that'll stay with you and say, keep on preaching, or keep on teaching, or keep on singing. We need to get involved in building this spiritual house tonight. We see this fact about building. Number two, there's a foundation of building. Foundation's very important this evening. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches the foundation is the most important process of the whole building. In Isaiah 28, verse number 16, Isaiah 28, and verse number 16, there the Bible says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, for a foundation, a stone tried, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste. Now, it's a place stone. He said, I lay in Zion. Who's that, Pastor? Oh, it's nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a place stone. And then the Bible said that it was tried. It's a proven stone. He stood the test of time. Hey, Buddha didn't get out of the grave. Confucius didn't get out of the grave. Muhammad didn't get out of there. The Lord Jesus got out of there. He's a tried stone tonight. So he's a placed stone. He's a proven stone. He's a precious stone. There's nobody as lovely as Jesus. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the church where I'm preaching tonight is the closest people in my life, no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind, there's people here that absolutely is closer than my blood family. But you know what? There's nobody precious as Jesus. Nobody's precious as He is. It's a precious stone, and it's a permanent stone. You see, He says it's a sure foundation. Now, isn't it amazing on this foundation of the building that God sent us the Lord Jesus as the chief cornerstone that we may build upon? The Bible said that the apostles has built upon that cornerstone and become the foundation. Now, spiritually speaking, I don't know where the building of the church is tonight, but I believe with all my heart it's close. But certainly tonight, I want to say this foundation of building. Have you ever set up housekeeping on the rock? Have you started this spiritual house on something that's solid? Not on church membership. Not on water baptism. Not on good works, but simply on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said it's so important. I told you about the foundation. Look at Matthew 7 and verse number 24. Matthew 7 and verse number 24. The facts of building, but the foundation of building. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. See, that's where people have a problem. That's where you go wrong. You hear it, but you don't apply it. See what he said? Hey, you can buy all the treadmills that you want, Brother Mike, but you got to use it. You ain't going to lose weight with your sweater hanging on it. It's like that old boy lost all that weight, you know, holding them britches out, been down the Subway. I like what Brother Bud Stiltner said over here on Faith Badger. He said, praise God, send me 9 of them, amen. You got to apply. And if you can listen to all, listen to me, families, listen to me, young'uns. You can hear all the preaching in the world, but we got to apply. And it's what Jesus said. Oh, Lord, did he have something to say? My goodness. He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's a big word, whosoever, and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man which built his house on a rock. And look what happened. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. And look here, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not. You know why? Because it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And you ought to underline this. And great was the fall of it. How many people do you know they started out in this thing and they got blowed out tonight? How many people do you know? Countless people And you know, I wonder this. Did they ever get saved? You know, it's hard to tell between a carnal Christian and a lost man. God knows. But you know something? The foundation of this building, the Bible said that the storm came and it stood. Boy, aren't you glad that you're on the solid rock tonight of the Lord? Boy, aren't you glad that you've not built your house on your 401k, built your house on an insurance or built your house on an education or a job? All those things are temporal. You know, there's something about a rock. They never grow weak with age. Boy, our Lord Jesus has stood the test of time, hasn't He? Facts of building, the foundation of building. Do you know your house is on the rock tonight? Lastly, the fashion of the building. I want to say we need some pillars of faith. In Hebrews chapter number 11, the great halls of faith, and the fashion of this building, we're going to build this building and we're going to get it erected and we're going to stand back and look at it. Spiritually speaking of us, oh my goodness, we need some pillars of faith. Once you build upon the rock, it takes faith, friend. And this is what he said about Hebrews 11. Now, faith is, not faith was, not faith is going to be. Faith is right there whenever you need it. Faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not blind faith. No place in your Bible can you ever show me blind faith. He said it's evidence of things not seen. God put something in you. He lets you know it's out yonder somewhere, but you ain't going to get it till you exercise faith. You see, he says in verse number 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Now look at Abraham in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive. That ain't blind faith. He's been called to go out. God has initiated that step of faith. You see that? I hear people say, well, just sell everything you got and live by faith. Okay, you live by faith. You eat wind pudding and rabbit tracks. You better be knowing God's done told you to do so. And honey, you may not be able to see the end of the story, but you better know He's done spoke to you and put you that in your spirit. Hey, you say, some of you look at me like you don't believe me tonight. What about this, Matthew 14, honey? The storm got up. Peter said, hey, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to you. That wasn't blind faith. Jesus said, come. Watch this. When he went out there, he began to sing. The Lord didn't say nothing else to him. You know why? You know why he didn't tuck tail and run back? Because what he said back yonder was a working out yonder. And you better know, honey, before you get out yonder, he done said something back yonder. Don't let none of these TV boys hoodwink you on this blind faith. We live by faith, but it ain't blind faith. We've heard the voice of God saying, come. Now, look at me at a calf at a new gate. You've heard that crazy stuff all your life. Bible said it ain't blind faith. He said the evidence of things not seen. There's things in my spirit tonight. I know that's out there in front of me, Brother Mike, but it's going to take faith to get there. Brother Mike, you remember one time I stood out there from that chapel and I told you, I said, Brother Mike, God's fixing to make me quit my job here in the next year or so. And you know what you said? Well, preacher, you're going to have to move with faith. My wife, I went to her and I said, honey, God is making me quit my job and walk out and take out. You know what she said? She said, well, I guess you're going to have to do it because I got more faith than you got. That wasn't blind faith. God moved on my heart to get me to where I was going. And when God speaks to you, then He requires us by faith to move and trust Him. We can't see the end of the picture, but God's got it out there set. Look what He done for Abraham, the father of our faith. This is amazing to me. The Bible said this in verse number 8, by faith, watch this, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country dwelling. The Bible said this, verse number 10, he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And then he said this in verse 13, all them that started in faith, they all die in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off. Isn't it amazing them that start in faith, die in faith? It's just something about this grace that we got in that keeps us saved. That's amazing to me tonight. But you know something, not only do we need timbers or pillars of faith, we need some timbers of hope. We hear a word about hope a lot. Look in Romans 8 and 24. Romans 8 and 24. We hear a lot about this word, hope. Let's see what the Bible says about it. And let's pay real close attention to this fashion of building. We need pillars of faith. We need some timbers of hope if we're going to build the right kind of house. Now, Romans 8, 24, he said this. He said, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, the word hope means expectations or confidence. I'm not hoping I have a hope. You see, if we had the Lord Jesus sitting in a chair right here tonight, that wouldn't be hope because we'd have it. But He said, you know what? He said, you can hope upon Him having a confidence because one day you're going to see Him. We need that hope in us. A lot of times, this world leaves us without a lot of hope. Friend, the Bible says we're saved by hope. And hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. And thank God I've got that hope tonight. I'm expecting to be there. And I'm glad we can have that hope in our heart. Expectation or I'm confident I'm going to see Him. Just as confident. I'm confident I'm going to see. We need pillars of faith. We need timbers of hope. We need some cement of love. We're going to put the right kind of stuff together. 1 John 4 and 7, this is an amazing chapter. Matter of fact, as I was looking over this, it's amazing to me how many times the word love is used. John 4 and 7, the Bible says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He said in verse 10, here's love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins. Jesus was the only propitiation for our sins because it satisfied. He is the only thing that would satisfy God's broken law. But here, there's cement of love. You know, it would be amazing if we operated in love. If Jesus said, they shall know you're my disciples. If what? If you have love one to another. Tell me how you can have love and shut up your bowels of compassion on a brother. Tell me how that you can love God in whom you've never seen and not love your brother in whom you have seen. It's something about the love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. Isn't it amazing we all stand and have that common denominator? We all have that common ground. The love of God that's shed abroad in our heart. It's nothing like the love of God. I think about Brother Gerald a lot. Brother Gerald, when the Spirit of the Lord gets on, he gets just like a big old oozing teddy bear. Isn't that amazing, Brother Tim? how you can get filled with love. You know something? My little grandbaby tonight, she didn't stand up down here on these steps. But you know what, Brother Randall? Don't matter to me. I love her. Amen. You know what that young'un can do? Now, y'all put your fingers in your young'un's ears. She can go over there and pour that cup of water out, and I'm still going to love her. Jimmy, that's how we ought to be in the church, son. We ought to have that kind of love for one another. Wouldn't that be amazing? I'm talking about building a spiritual house tonight. How's the love in your heart? Brother Mike talked about a man that he had run with, had a burden for the Lord with. You know what? That's the love of God being shed abroad for sinners. Folks, when we lose the sight of our loved ones and friends dying and going to hell, we're not showing the love of Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We love Him because simply He first loved us. My goodness, we need some cement of love. It would help your house so much where you live. It would help your spiritual life so much if you had the love of God shed abroad in your heart and out of your soul. Oh my goodness, we need walls of prayer. James 5 and verse number 16. James 5 and verse number 16. This is what the Bible says. He says, confess your faults one to another. By the way, you look that word fault up, it's sinful. You confess your sinful self one to another. Now listen to me, I don't think y'all to get up here in the stand and confess all your faults to everybody. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Now watch, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual means to work or be mighty in. Prayers work. You know what I'm interested in teaching the people how important prayer is? It would be absolutely embarrassing if we had everybody to walk on this stage tonight that did not pray for our service this morning at home before we got here. I preached this morning about Simeon coming in. And you know why that Simeon was blessed? Because somebody brought Jesus in with them. You know why we get so blessed at the church house when somebody brings Jesus in with them? Letting Him overflow. People, we've got to be a praying people. We got to be praying for this ministry in ways that we've never even prayed. We're facing things. We're facing oppositions like we thought we would never see tonight. And I'll be quite honest with you. I'm a young man yet. I've got at least another 20, 25 years, maybe 30, maybe 40, maybe 50. Folks, I'm not putting no feather in nothing, but that's the way we do stuff. What's going to happen to us here in 20 years? I heard a man preaching this evening at ordination, sir. He said, these folks in Atlanta has got guards at the doors in their churches. I said, my goodness, we're that way in Bowden, Georgia. Amen? Folks, people's got crazy. And it's going to come a time when we're going to have leadership at the access points of our building just to see who's coming in and out of this place. I believe with all my heart. And I don't want to scare you. I don't want to disrupt the apple cart. I'm just telling you how it is. If you're going to go to a church where they preach it in Jesus' name and preaching against sin and homosexuality and lesbianism, all these things that's coming down the pike to us, to our little town in Georgia, we're going to face things and see things. And if we're not praying today, we better be getting us a place to pray. I challenge every one of you in this congregation. You that drank coffee, I challenge you to do this. Before you get your cup of coffee in the morning, go to your altar and pray. Before you eat breakfast in the morning, I challenge everybody in this building, go to your altar and pray. Please put me head of the list. Please pray for those on our prayer. Please pray for the leadership in our church. Please pray for these young'uns. These little old young'uns, people, they're facing things out here in these schoolhouses, men, you know nothing about. People's absolutely picking up children. Picking them up, putting them in the cars, taking them from mom and daddy's never to be seen again. We live in a confused world. And we better be praying a hedge about this ministry. It's amazing what we're going to see come down the pike in a place like this. And I'm going to tell you what. I can put me a dress on and a scarf on, and I can get me one of them new funny kind of Bibles. We ain't going to have no devil problem. But if you're going to stand for what's right, you're going to have trouble. And we need each other. Young families, you need a place to raise your children. We need a place that we can come and be loved. We need to be a people that will love people. You've done seen preaching will test them. Preaching keep the riffraff knocked off, but don't you think the devil is going to haul a calf rope and quit? My goodness, folks, we need to have the cement of love, and we need to have the wall of prayer. He said, the effectual prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. Boy, we need windows of light. We need to be letting our light shine out of our spiritual houses. When people's looking up, what are they seeing? Listen, they may make fun of you young ladies how you dress because you're not in your little things that's in style. And some of you young ladies, you know what you ought to do? You ought to love your mom and daddy in such a way that you not push them and tell them everybody else is doing. You ought to listen to them. They know what they're doing. They've got your best interest at heart. They don't want you walking out exposing your nakedness. All these little heathens walking around out yonder. And daddy, if you ain't got enough guts to make her dress right, come see me and I'll teach you about guts. It's simple. We ain't going to do that here. And stand on it. And honey, you can roll your little lips out and get little poochy lips all you want. We need to let our light shine. You young people ought to be letting the light shine out here in these high schools and these elementary schools. Some of these kids ain't got a mom and daddy like you got to bring them to a church that's got preaching. You ought to let your little light be shining. I wish our young people would get excited about Jesus. Maybe it's because they don't see us get excited. Windows of light. We need some wells of grace. You know it would do us good to operate by grace. Grace is giving you what you don't deserve. We need wells of grace. Forgive one another and forget. Be graceful. Young Christians, they don't understand everything. They're growing. Give them time. Love them. We need some shingles of mercy. Mercy's God withholding what we do deserve. It's easy to pop somebody's jaw. It's easy. That's why I come up. We need some doors of fellowship. Cliques kill churches. Fellowship, simply participation or communion. We need doors of fellowship. I think it's good for these young couples to fellowship. But let me tell you something. A new couple comes in. Your little clique, you going to let them in your little clique? If don't, you going to clack. You little girls, you're so cliquey. I preach this in places. I see the moms, they look at me so mean. But they don't scare me because they ain't no meaner than what you are. Little girls are the meanest, rudest little things in the country. Little boys get in a fight, they tear their overalls off, and they done. Little girls hold a vendetta. Cat fights. Some of you ladies the same way. They just doing what they've seen you do. And we need doors of fellowship. What about this new family just joined tonight? What about the new family just joined 2 weeks ago? You going to let them in your little clique? Matter of fact, if I know you got a little clique, I'm going to be the first one to bust your clique. I see you in the parking lot in your little huddle. I'm going to walk up and say, anything you want to share with everybody? It ain't no biggins, ain't no little'uns. God saved you, save them. Let them in the fellowship. That's where churches dry up and die. We got to love people and accept people. They probably don't like how you look neither. I'm preaching today, ain't I? We need to think about what we're doing. We're building a spiritual house. What kind of light's on? Doors of fellowship. Then doorsteps of praise. My goodness, I'd hate to know I was saved and somebody didn't know it because I never raised my hand. These little old kids tonight on the stage, I wish we'd... Miss Jennifer, Miss Dent, we ought to be getting them to do this sometime. You say, well, preacher, that's emotional. Well, then get emotional. We all got more emotions than what we think. Preacher, I'm not emotional. Well, what about that cussing you do? I ain't emotional. What about that cussing you do? Some of you cussing, you call it Christian cussing. Doorsteps of praise. And we need some driveways of witness. People knows what's in our yard. Of our spiritual house. God help me tonight to take in consideration of others and the cause of Christ. Sir, you make the wrong decision, you just not hurting you. You hurting a lot of people around you. Miss Julie, I want you to come play something tonight. I wasn't going to, but I feel a nudge to do that. I want to ask you, these altars are open. Are you praying? Are you really serving the Lord? Have you really built the house on the rock? How's your well of grace? How's your cement of love? How's your shingles of mercy tonight? How's your doorstep of praise? I know the devil beats on Brother Dennis and Brother Donald up, but thank God for you boys that stand up and just say hallelujah to Jesus. Brother Lee, you had one of the best fire-starting mamas I've ever seen. This is what she say, preacher, can I testify? God love her. God love her. Preacher, can I testify? Yes, ma'am, you sure can. Brother Lee's mama would stand up. She'd say more than 3 minutes than the average Baptist preacher would say in 30. What you need tonight, come, would you? Whatever you need.